the Antiwhite system and tune in to the Pro-White system at RadioArian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 12th of August 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioArian.com. Well, of course, the main news today and the subject that everybody is speaking about is the death of Jeffrey Epstein. Jeff Epstein, whilst held on suicide watch in prison. And I'm not going to talk too much about this because it has been covered extensively elsewhere. I will recommend that people check out Henrik over at Red Ice, the stream that he did with Ryan Dawson at the weekend. Ryan Dawson seems to have researched all of this extremely thoroughly. And if you want to know just why Jeff Epstein was so important and why it was predicted that he would be suicided by so many people, then check out that stream. Obviously, it's extremely suspicious. As I say, so many people were predicting this. In fact, the entire alt media was united upon predicting that he was going to be suicided. So you would imagine that he would have been watched like a hawk. And we're being told that the camera wasn't even working that was supposed to be filming him when he was there on his own. Those cells are not supposed to have anything in them that will allow anybody to hang themselves. In actual fact, it reminds me of Rudolf Hess, who was apparently he hanged himself from a 3-foot-high radiator while sitting down, if you can believe that. A couple of suspicious things about this, besides the fact that he was an extremely important, accused person that was supposed to be being looked after by the prison services, is the way that the media told us straight away that he had apparently committed suicide. And this is like when we got terrorist acts like 7/7 and 9/11, and we were told straight away that this was Islamic terrorism before any investigation had happened. And before there was any investigation of what had actually happened with Jeffrey Epstein, we're being told it was an apparent suicide. We don't know that it was suicide. We don't know anything until it's been investigated. I mean, that is highly suspicious that the mainstream media are telling us what the outcome of the investigation is going to be before they've even had the investigation. Now, it is possible that they could have swapped the body for somebody else and given him a new identity. The man was absolutely loaded. He was connected to all these rich people. It's not beyond the realms of possibility that they just put somebody else in there and smuggled him out of the prison. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. And of course, we're being told that it's all the conspiracy theorists that are suggesting that it might be something other than suicide. But there's been no investigation to say that it's suicide. We're just being told to believe that by the mainstream media. There are even people coming out and saying, oh, it was a Russian plot. Absolute madness. I mean, this is really waking people up to the lies that the mainstream media tell us, I think. And of course, it's overshadowed the so-called far-right terrorism that happened over there in El Paso last week, which I think they would like to happen because it's coming out now about the far-left terrorism that took place in Ohio. And over here in Britain at the moment, of course, far-right terrorism is in all the news. And we had a report a couple of days ago Which I think is really showing that there's being resources are being directed in the wrong direction. They really are being directed in the wrong direction with this. We've got a program over here in Britain which is called the Prevent Program, and it's supposed to de-radicalize Muslims, basically. That's what it was invented for. And the Muslims complained that they were being unfairly targeted, pretty similar to Stop and Search. The blacks complained that they were being unfairly targeted with the police stopping them and searching them. So that was stopped. And then we had a huge increase in people being stabbed. And now they've had to reinstitute Stop and Search with the police. Well, they had this Prevent program, which was supposed to prevent Muslims from becoming jihadi terrorists. And the Muslims complained about this and said that, oh, it was racist and it was unfairly targeting Muslims. So they come out with this idea that of far-right terrorism, and we have to use this program to go against far-right terrorists as well as Muslims, and then they can't be accused of being Islamophobic or picking on the Muslims. And of course, what's happened now is that they've actually got more so-called far-right extremists on this program than Muslims. More than half of the pupils who are being put through the Prevent De-Radicalisation Programme are now far-right extremists. The scheme, which was originally devised to combat Islamic extremism, has dealt with hundreds of far-right students in the past year, according to Home Office figures. It means that for the first time, such cases have overtaken those of Islamic extremists in Britain's schools and colleges. The official data has been mentioned in secret meetings the Department for Education officials have had across the country with counter-extremism specialists and workers. Well, let's just have a look at this, shall we? How much Islamic extremism have we had in Britain? Well, we've had the 7/7 bomb on the bus, or on the tube, that killed dozens of people, maimed dozens of others. We've had a nail bomb that went off in the Manchester Arena, maiming and killing lots of children. We had drummer Lee Rigby. He had his head beheaded, sliced off in front of people on the street. We've had the stabbing attack that was on London Bridge. We've had vehicle attacks that have run people over. We've had all sorts of Islamic terrorism over here. We've probably got about 100 dead victims over here in Britain. Let's have a look now at the so-called far-right extremism. And let's think back. We've got somebody that was accused of being a member of National Action, and they had some fireworks. They were accused of preparing a bomb. There was a crazy person that was also associated with National Action, and he was filmed with a National Action flag, and then the next week he was filmed with an ISIS flag, and then he went out, and I believe he attacked some Oriental dentist in a supermarket, and who was locked up. And obviously he was crazy, schizophrenic, and yet he was linked with the far right, because before he was waving the ISIS flag, he was waving a National Action flag. I don't think he was ever a member of National Action. At the time, people could just buy these flags if they wanted them. So we had those. Then we had Thomas Mayer, who killed Joe Cox. And we were told that he was a far-right terrorist, but there's no evidence to show that. When the BBC showed you inside his house, they showed you all his books. They were trying to say he was a neo-Nazi. And the books he had were Schindler's List, The World at War, just normal World War II books. And there was only one witness that said that he said, "Death to traitors, freedom for Britain," when he killed Joe Cox. Nobody else heard that. And I believe there was even a sign put up in the person's window to say that he didn't actually say that, and it was the newspapers that claimed that he said that. So we don't know the reason for Thomas Mayer killing Joe Cox. It was obviously useful for the government and the mainstream media to claim that he was far right, because they wanted to pretend that there was this far-right threat. Then we had Darren Osborne from Wales, who hired a van, drove it to London, ran some Muslims over, and one of the Muslims later died of a heart attack. And he was found to have looked at Tommy Robinson's Twitter feed before he did this. And when he was asked in court why it was that he did this, what was his reasoning, he said it was because he watched a BBC documentary on young girls that were being trafficked and raped by Muslim grooming gangs, and because of the terror attack that took place in Manchester. And he obviously had learning difficulties, and in his mind, there was a war on, and everybody needed to get up and fight back. And he thought that he was fighting back for the country by running these Muslims over. Obviously, a few sandwiches short of a picnic. But that was classed as far right terrorism. Then you had Jack Renshaw, who pleaded guilty to terrorism, even though the actual court case found that was nothing to do with it. They found that he wasn't a member of National Action. They found that the alleged members of National Action were nothing to do with this plot. There was no manifesto. There was no explanation of quite what this terrorism was supposed to achieve. And then we found out that it was more likely to be a revenge plot, because who he was really wanting to kill was the police officer who had charged him with the grooming of young boys. Which makes a lot more sense than thinking that it was terrorism. Because what would be the point of him killing some obscure Labour MP? How is that going to advance the cause of the far right? It's not. It's far more likely just to be a way that he could, in his crazy mind, that he could get the police officer there so that he could kill the police officer. So you can look at all of that and you can say, well, okay, that's two people, I think. That's this Muslim guy that died of a heart attack, and Joe Cox. So you got, and the guy that died of the heart attack, I mean, he was run over, he died afterwards. So really you can say that there's one person that's been killed, and we don't know whether that was to do with the far right or not. So that outnumbers the Islamic terrorism 100-1, and yet all the resources, at least half of the resources to prevent terrorist attacks, are being directed at so-called far-right extremists. Last night, experts said that though the data showed an increase in far-right extremism in society in recent years, it also displayed a greater awareness of it among teachers and staff at schools and colleges. And that's probably the reason for this, because you've got all these left-wing teachers at schools and colleges that think that if you support UKIP, then you're a neo-Nazi fascist and you need to have diversity training and special brainwashing. I mean, we've seen this. We've seen a girl that was kicked out of college just for saying that she supported Tommy Robinson. We've heard of people that support UKIP that have had their children taken from them. So that's the reason for this. Not that there's suddenly a lot of youngsters that want to carry out violent acts, but that we've got a lot of left-wing teachers that think that support for anything right of Jeremy Corbyn means that you're a neo-Nazi fascist. In 2017-2018, there were 2,426 prevent referrals from schools and colleges for extremism made by concerned teachers and staff about students. Of those, 922, or 38%, were for Islamic extremism, while 576, or 23%, were for far-right ones. So according to that, there were twice as many referrals of Muslims than there were for people from the supposed far-right. However, the vast majority of these referrals were looked at and dismissed by government prevent officers as false. Only those that are deemed to be genuine are discussed at panel level by prevent officers, meaning they become cases. The figures show that those troubled students who were then de-radicalised through the bespoke channel programme totaled 165 for the year. Of those provided channel support, 91 or 55% were far-right extremist students, and 57, or 34%, were Islamic extremist cases. In 2016-17, Islamic extremism referrals in schools and colleges were higher than right-wing ones at 56% compared with 32%. So what that is saying is that up till 2016-2017, there was higher Islamic, people with Islamic terrorist sympathies, their numbers were higher that were referred than the right-wing ones. And since then, it's changed around, despite the fact that there are actually twice as many Islamic referrals than far-right ones. For some reason, when it gets looked at the panel level, that's been reversed. Now, why could that be? Could it possibly be because the Muslims have complained about the PREVENT program and said that it disproportionately targets Muslims? So the government doesn't want to be accused of being Islamophobic, doesn't want to be accused of being racist, so the government are looking for white people that they can make out to be susceptible to far-right terrorism. I think that plays into this. And another thing that plays into this is, on these panels, on the PREVENT panels, because the Muslims complained and said they were being unfairly targeted, they decided to put a load of Muslims on those panels. So you've got imams and you've got representatives of the so-called moderate Muslim community that are on the PREVENT panel that are saying, well, basically they're the ones that are being given the decision of saying whether somebody is an extremist or whether they are a moderate. But there are no people from the civic nationalist community who you could say are from the moderate nationalist community. I would class Radio Aryan as being within the moderate nationalist community. We don't support violence. We don't support extremism of any kind. We support peaceful means. Yet there is nobody from the moderate nationalist community that is on these panels to say whether these people that they're looking at, whether these students that they are looking at, whether they are likely to support Atomwaffen or National Action, or likely to carry out violent acts, or whether they are likely to support out non-violent organisations or non-prescribed organisations like UKIP, Britain First, or Tommy Robinson. There is no division drawn between the two. This is discrimination against white people. It's discrimination against nationalists. And it's very hypocritical. If they're going to have representatives of the moderate Muslim community on these panels, they should have representatives of the moderate nationalist community. I mean, that's just common sense. And that would ensure that the resources were going in the right area, because they're quite clearly not going in the right area. If half the resources are going on white people that are supposedly far-right extremists, yet the far-right extremism is only responsible for 1 in 100 of the actual acts of terrorism, and even that is questionable, then clearly there's a misallocation of resources here, and there are people that maybe should be being de-radicalized, which aren't, and there are people that are not radicalized at all that are having all this money wasted on them and are going through this PREVENT program. William Baldet, a PREVENT officer and a senior fellow at the Center for Analysis of the Radical Right, said, there are two things here. Firstly, there is more far-right extremism around as society lurches more towards the right in America and Europe. Well, I would question that. Is there more far-right extremism around in Britain? There is certainly more far-right feeling. There is certainly more nationalist feeling. But as far as extremism, violent acts, I don't think there is in Britain. You can say that there has been worldwide. There has been worldwide. There has been people carrying out terrorist acts and claiming white nationalist sympathies, obviously starting with Breivik, and you've got Brendan Tarrant. You've got a couple of ones in America. You've got these attack on the synagogue. You've got this El Paso attack. And just incidentally, just mentioning that El Paso attack, I did a podcast last week and I said the actual attacker, his mother was Latin American. And that information came from Michael Hoffman, and it came from the mother's page on something called My Life or whatever. Well, we checked that again the other day, and it's been doctored so that it now says Caucasian. And of course, Latin American could be said to be Caucasian, but it's been doctored anyway. So if people were actually looking for that, for the proof of the killer's mother being Latin American, it's been removed and something else has been written there instead. But anyway, there has been an increase globally in so-called far-right terrorism, but it's still only about 1 in 100 compared to Islamic terrorism. And it's absolutely dwarfed when you look at the black-on-white crime that goes on. Last week, again, there was an image that was put up of all the murderers in America who had murdered 4 or more people. And about 90% of them were black. And yet there's no programs to try and de-radicalize blacks and prevent them from killing whites. All these resources are going on this so-called far-right extremism. So that's the first thing that he points out. Secondly, he says there is more awareness of far-right extremism in schools by teachers, as we have had 2 terror attacks here, and there have been big incidents in the US. So he's echoing what I was saying earlier, that it's because we've got these left-wing teachers, and the teachers are far more likely to put people forward that are supporters of UKIP or further to the right than they are, because they are political activists in the main. A lot of these teachers, they are like political activists. They support the far left, which I guess is understandable in some ways when you think these teachers, they try to do the best by all their pupils, regardless of who they are or whatever. They tend to be very egalitarian. They tend to think with their hearts instead of with their heads, purely because they're dealing with youngsters all the time. So he admits that there's more awareness of this now by the teachers, more awareness of the right wing. And that's why there's been this increase. But Mr. Baldet added that despite the surge in far-right extremism — it's hardly a surge, is it — the chances of a far-right terrorist atrocity has remained the same in Britain, and not increased. He said the chance of an Islamist terror attack is still higher. So if it's still higher, why are all these resources being wasted on these white people? And just what is their definition of far-right? What is their definition of a far-right extremist? Prevent experts say that the type of far-right extremism that students show in schools and colleges is more identitarian. Identitarian. So what they're saying there is that members of groups like Generation Identitaire, who we've seen on documentaries talking about how they reject hedonism, they don't want to go out and get drunk, they don't want to smoke, they want to work on improving themselves, they want to go to meetings and discuss intellectual pursuits and books that they've read, that now means you're a far-right extremist. So just sensible young people are now classed as being far-right extremists, just for being an identitarian. This phrase describes the far-right belief that Britain's racial map is changing irrevocably with more immigration. How can they say that that is just a belief? How can they say that is just a belief when London is over 60% non-white? Over 60% of the white people that lived in London have been displaced by blacks and non-whites over the last 50 years. And that is irrevocable. How are you going to change that? You're going to bring back all those white Londoners that have moved elsewhere in the country and lost their Cockney accents? Got children that have been brought up elsewhere? Are they saying that's a fantasy and that it can be changed? The government are going to change this? The government are going to send them all back? Is that what it means by it's just a belief that it's changing irrevocably? The mainstream media celebrate this. The mainstream media celebrate the fact that there are more non-whites than whites in London. They're constantly celebrating diversity. So when they admit it, when they say, isn't it great, Britain's racial map is changing, that's okay. When we say, we don't think that's great, we don't think that's good at all, we don't like the fact that we are being replaced, we don't like the fact that we're not breeding enough to replace ourselves and you are replacing us with non-whites. When we say that, oh, that's just a belief, that's just a fantasy. When we talk about the replacement agenda and replacement migration, a term which was first used by the UN to describe the immigration of non-whites into Europe, they called it, they were the ones that came up with the term replacement migration. We're told that's a conspiracy theory when we use it, even though it's quite easy to check for yourself that that is the plan. They talk about it all the time. Europeans aren't producing enough to replace themselves, so we must bring in Africans and Arabs and use them to replace them. So they'll keep the economy going. That's the logic that they use. But that's just a fantasy when we talk about it. It's not real when we talk about it. The experts also say that far-right extremists advocate that white British people must live and marry their own kind, while black and Asian Britons should do likewise. And don't forget, they're saying that this means you're a far-right extremist that should be going on a prevent program, on a de-radicalization program, if you think this. If you think that it's right to marry people who look like your parents and look like your grandparents, you're a far-right extremist. You know, the whole definition of marriage is actually based upon that. If you look in the Bible, you go right back to the beginning of Genesis, where Eve is created from Adam. And so that she can be his wife, he says, bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And what that means is lawful marriage is with somebody of the same bone structure as you and with the same flesh as you. I mean, even the Bible admits that race is more than skin color. It tells you right there, different bone structure. The different races have a different bone structure as well as a different colored flesh. And if you mix one race with another, that's not a lawful marriage. That's fornication. What you are doing there is you are adulterating the bloodline. You're adulterating your own race. And the offspring will be a racial bastard. That's where these terms originate from. So, and that's what all our ancestors believed in. All our ancestors as white people are far-right extremists. And don't forget, if you are white, that means that every single one of your ancestors married someone that looked like them. And that's what they're saying here. If you believe that British people should live and marry their own kind, like every white person's ancestors did, then you are a far-right extremist. And what's wrong with expecting black and Asians to do likewise? It's the most natural thing in the world to marry and live among your own kind. There's a genetic similarity theory is the theory that it's named. And what that shows is that people tend to pick partners with a very, very high percentage of the same inheritable genes that they have, which explains why when you look back at photographs of your ancestors, they look similar to you. Or you may find that your partner looks similar to the partner that your grandfather had or the partner that your grandmother had. And that's because we have this instinct within us to pick partners that are similar to ourselves. And also friends. We also make friends that have a very high percentage of the same genes. And this is factual information here. You've also got the fact that when you're brought up in your family, you're around your own people. Unless your parents have miscegenated and created a bastard, then you're brought up around your own kind, your immediate family. And therefore, it's instinctual that you will want to be among your own kind when you're outside of your family, That's what the nation is. It's just an extended family, and the race is just an extension of the family beyond that. If you think that, you are a far-right extremist, according to the experts. Prevent officials believe that very few pupils show signs of white neo-Nazi extremism, which wants Britain for whites only, and often advocates attacks on non-whites. So what they're saying there is, it really is just identitarians. It really is just people that think that you should marry your own kind, and that immigration is changing the country. That is literally what they think is far-right extremism, which has got no link with violence whatsoever. And a very tiny portion of these pupils, they say, are white neo-Nazi extremists, which want Britain for whites only, which is a very natural thing to want. As we just pointed out, you want to be with your own kind. And then they say, and often advocates attacks on non-whites. Now, I'm not aware of any groups that advocate attacks on non-whites. I'm not very well acquainted with Atomwaffen. I know they've got that group in America. Apparently 5 people have been killed to do with them. So it's not out of the realms of possibility that there are people that are susceptible to this. And they're the ones that they should be trying to find. But perhaps if they really wanted to de-radicalize these people, a better way would be to have moderate nationalists de-radicalize them. If you've got somebody coming from the outside who is saying, well, no, diversity is a strength, and Britain isn't being, immigration isn't changing Britain. I mean, they're trying to tell these people that black is white and 2 + 2 = 5. They're not going to pay any attention to them. And if they do, they're going to be insincere. But if you've got a civic nationalist, maybe, or a moderate nationalist that explains why violent attacks is not going to help our cause, then that might effectively de-radicalize these people. So do they seriously want, are they serious about wanting to de-radicalize them? Or are they just wanting to say, well, we're not racist, we're not Islamophobic, look, we've got just as many or more white people on this program than we have brown people. And this idea that just thinking that it's natural to marry someone who looks like you means you're a far-right extremist, and surely that is going to wake up more people to the truth of nationalism than anything else. Anybody reading this article is going to realize that it's describing themselves as a far-right extremist. If they want to marry someone that looks like them, you're a far-right extremist. This article itself is going to help to encourage people to become nationalists. And this is the thing, with this mainstream media, with the clown world mainstream media that we have, we talk about how often it lies, but at the same time, while it's doing that, and while it's pushing this harmful agenda towards us, it's waking more people up, because people see it and they realize, hang on, this is talking about me. It's calling me a far-right extremist. Maybe these guys that they're trying to terrify us about, maybe they're just like me. Maybe they're good people, just like me, and I should go and search them out and support them. I think that happens far more often than people read this and sympathize with the mainstream media. All you have to do is look at the comments. I mean, the comments on this article pointing out the hypocrisy of it, and that there is no so-called far-right threat. Anyway, thank you very much for listening today. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless, and hail victory.
You're tuned in.